turn to the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I have been preaching the last several months, two or three anyway, on what Jesus said and did after he was raised from the dead and before he went back to heaven. Now, I'm going to continue that next Sunday as we look at the missionary mandate, that this is the mandate given to all Christians and all congregations of Christians. And then we're going to look the following week at the baptismal formula. What does it mean to say, I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The privilege of that and the responsibilities of it are truly awesome. But we're going to focus a week ahead of time, because next Sunday is in churches, denominations that observe the calendar, church calendar year, is Ascension Sunday. But I wanted to get a start on the other guys and talk about it today and how it fits into the missionary mandate and to the baptismal formula that God has instructed us to use. So here in this book of Acts, written by the same author as the book of Luke, it's a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And in this passage of Scripture, we find a glorious truth revealed that is often overlooked, that Jesus, in his body, as a human being raised from the dead, he went from earth to heaven and there awaits us to join him. But here we read in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, the first 11 verses. Hear now God's word. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put under his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who inspired this word, enable us to appreciate the mighty power of what we have just read and experience that in our own lives. To that end, will you join me in prayer? O Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask for wisdom to hear, to understand, to apply, and to respond with gratitude and joy unspeakable and full of glory as we read this account of our dear Lord going back home again after he had spent the time here on earth and accomplished everything that you gave him to do. But now, Father, we would consider what you have given him to do from his earthly throne, and how powerful that is. And I pray that we may experience the wonder and the joy of knowing that our Lord went back home again and is coming again to this earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I know that not many people give much thought to the ascension. I didn't hear anybody, one woman saying to another, "Oh, what a beautiful outfit you got for ascension." Or I don't hear people saying, our little children, we need to get them together take little toy spaceships or something and tell them about the ascension. But we don't think much about the ascension. We said it. We said we believed it, that after he had suffered under Pontius Pilate, descended into hell, and rose again from the dead, that he ascended into heaven and is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And so he was indeed the beginning of a new creation, of God and man being joined together in one person. And the power of that is that enables us to believe that God does regard us as children, and as children who can come into his presence because our elder brother is up there by his side, praying for us by name and by need. And I think it's pretty awesome to realize that my name is spoken by the Son of God to the Father in heaven. And I'm prayed for every day and every moment of every day. And you are too. I think one of the great joys of my life is to, before daylight on Sunday morning, is to pray for each one of you by name and by need as I know it. And I was overwhelmed when I was praying this morning. Jesus is in heaven, talking to the Father, interceding for each one of us by name and by need. He knows us, and he knows us thoroughly. And to realize that Christ bodily is in heaven. And that means that heaven is a place, not just a condition of a heart and mind. I know you like to sing at Easter time. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Well, that's not how I know he lives. The Word of God says he is at the right hand of the Father, and therefore I can experience the blessing of knowing that. And that's, in a certain sense, that we can say he lives within my heart. But if he were not living in the bodily form at the right hand of the Father, I couldn't sing that hymn with any conviction at all. But since he is there, I know that by the Holy Spirit he has promised, Father and I will both come to you through the Holy Spirit, and we will be with you forever. And that is all because of the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ from his throne of glory. The ascension and the enthronement of Christ at the Father's right hand are events that should not be overlooked. And certainly if we were to have a sunrise ascension service, when I say he is risen, and you could say he is really risen, and you even raise your hands, although we're Presbyterians and we don't do that too often, but it's worth the physical demonstration. If you get through to your heart and mind, he is risen. He's really risen. He's at the Father's right hand. It's not that he's just there in spirit. He is there in the form of his resurrection body that was able to be seen, felt, examined, and shared meals with here on earth. And now he is in our Father's presence, in as both God and man, So he has brought God and man together in a great and marvelous family. The reports of the ascension as given in the Gospels in the book of Acts are presented in the very same way all other historical events concerning Jesus are presented. It's not just that we think that he's there in spirit. No, they saw him go up in his bodily form. And it's interesting to me the role the angels played in the coming of Jesus and the leaving of Jesus on earth. Remember, angel coming to the Virgin Mary and telling her that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, and he will be the Son of God. And when Mary said, "How can this possibly be? I've never known a man." And the Holy Spirit said, "The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you." This is what the angel told her. And the conception will be by the creative power of God. And then later on, when Jesus was going through that agony of Gethsemane, and he was praying with bitter tears and praying repeatedly over and over again, and then the Father sent an angel down to comfort him. And there, after his crucifixion, was poor Mary crying her heart out, wondering, how can he keep on living? And an angel came and told her, "He is not here, for he is risen." And then here at the very end of the time, when the angel came to the disciples as they were still looking, wondering, will he ever come again? "This same Jesus, which you have seen go into heaven, will come again in like manner as you have seen him leave." And then the Lord Jesus said that when he comes again, he will come with a multitude of mighty angels to sing his praise and to announce his coming. So the role of angels that we don't see very often, probably never, but the role is prominent. And Jesus said, "But when I come back, I will come back with myriads and myriads of angels." So here, the significance of this is overwhelming. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is a position of power, a position of honor. But it does not imply rest. Do you mean Jesus went and just sat down? No. Jesus took the position of being at the Father's right hand. But we find various phrases in the gospel accounts that he is the one who walks among the golden candlesticks, which are the churches. If you think it's awesome to contemplate that Jesus prays for you by name and by need, then think this, that he has promised that wherever his people are gathered in his name, there I will be also. Oh God, it's so overwhelming to think that you're here in the person of your Son by the Holy Spirit. And it's a position of power and glory. And certainly, it doesn't imply that he's sitting at the right hand of God, that he has occupied the position of the right hand of God. And all power in heaven and earth has been given to him. To reinforce the concept of an ongoing ministry by the risen Christ, the New Testament speaks of standing at God's right hand, walking among the seven golden lampstands, which are the church, waging unrelenting warfare against Satan and all spiritual wickedness in high places. He is not dead. He has not removed himself. He is with his people. And how important that we come together with that understanding. We're going into the presence of Christ in a special way. Yes, he is with us always. But when his people gather together, he speaks to them by the Word and the Holy Spirit. And because he has persevered, you will persevere. So what is he doing? We say about him, he's present with us, and he walks with us, and certainly, but the confession of faith that and the catechisms of our church sum up this so beautifully. He occupies the role of a prophet. And what does a prophet do? He speaks for God. And by the Word and the Holy Spirit, Christ, the enthroned Lord of glory, continues the work of being God's prophet through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. This is the Word of which John spoke when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made." So the Holy Spirit, sent from the Father and the Son, enables us to read the Scripture with understanding. I talked to a young man on the phone early this morning, and he thanked me for sending him a copy, a written-out copy of the sermon about Mary Magdalene and how she heard Jesus speak his name. And he said he was just surrounded by the men who were there in this Bible study. And they said, "It means so much to know that God, I'm a nobody, but God knows me by name." And as he said to Simon Peter, he says to me, "I have prayed for you by name." And they were just overwhelmed by the thought that the Savior knows them, knows who they are, knows and cares for them. So as a prophet, he sends forth his Holy Spirit and enables us to understand. It's hard work. It doesn't come to those who just simply scan through the Scripture, but for those who meditate on the Scripture, the Holy Spirit opens your heart and understanding. But he's also our high priest. He's not just the one who speaks the Word of God. He is the one who has made the perfect offering himself. He is not only the priest, he is the sacrifice, the sacrificer and the sacrifice. And as our high priest, he has stood in the presence of God and presented his finished work on the cross and the resurrection. "Here is what I bring you in behalf of my people, dear Father. And I claim for them all of the blessings that I have won from your hand. And I share them with my brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in me." And to think that as our high priest, he lives always to make intercession for us and also to set an example. I would hope that on Sunday morning when you come and take this bulletin, that you will keep it before you and that you will use it on a regular basis, and that you will pick out some people, maybe this list or more, that you will faithfully pray for, because our high priest has said to us that we're all priests before God when it comes to intercession. Do you exercise the priesthood of believers? Or is it just words that we say? But you can know the thrill and the wonder and the glory of it. It's to come with names and faces on your heart and mind and present them before the Lord. But more than just being a prophet and a priest, he is also a king. By nature and by the Father's appointment. And when Mary received the announcement, she said, "And he will reign over the house of Israel forever." He is our king, and it is ours to be obedient. And so in the church assembly, we know that he is the God of order, and that we exercise the powers of Christ himself when we sing our praise to him, when we extend the invitation of the gospel. It's not just me standing up here. It's Christ making his appeal through me. And I would hope and pray that every message you hear would contain enough of the gospel in it to save you forever and ever. And so as our King, he speaks his word, and he is on an invisible throne, but it will not always be invisible here on earth, that he is coming again in power and glory. And as the King in one of the parables that Jesus told, he went on a far journey into a far country, but he required of his representatives that they rule faithfully. And then when he came back, he demanded an accounting of their ministry as his representatives. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the King, and give an account and hear an accounting of what we have done as favored people who have the will of God made known to us, who have a high priest in heaven praying for us, and who has a King that is coming again. And there the angels come into play. And they were two men in bright apparel, but obviously angelic beings. And they said to them, "Why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? You need to be doing his commandments, for he is coming again." Is that just a theory? Is that just a doctrine? Or is it the heartbeat of every breath you take to know the King is coming? And we must be prepared to greet him in all honor, with all glory and praise and thanksgiving. I heard a story once about a dear old Scotsman who was having trouble with assurance. And so he said, I looked into my own heart and I saw darkness and I saw hypocrisy and I saw all sorts of evil. But then I turned to the Word of God and looked into the heart of Jesus through his word, and I saw nothing but glory and power. Oh, I'm so glad we met. And I'm so glad that you're glad that you have met the Lord and that you have understood on this Memorial Day, when we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has to offer you everything, life eternal, and he is coming again. Let us pray. O Christ, our Savior, our prophet, priest, and King, hasten the day of your coming. Enable us to anticipate with faith and with commitment that you are coming again and that we will be prepared for your return. And we pray this in your name. Amen.